You know, I have just a couple of subjects in my mind this morning that I kind of want to talk about. And, you know, it was an interesting thing I was able to witness to a fellow worker of mine at work, and it was an awesome opportunity. And, you know, one of the things that I was talking about is how the Lord saved my life in many different instances. But at the end of it, I was talking about how that I thought, really, when I first started partying and doing drugs and doing dope, I mean, I thought I was having a good time. Now, it was a good time for a season. But when I came across and met the Lord, I come to find out real quickly that it was bondage. And the more I stayed in my rebellious way, the more bondage I realized I was in. And the Lord freed me from that bondage. And I praise God for it. And the life that He has given me now is far better than I could even imagine. That love, that peace, that joy, it's far better. And it's easy to look because there's kind of two sides of that coin of that bondage. It's all bondage. I mean, one for me, my past was I partied. I had fun, I did drugs, I did all these things, but they were all bondage. It left me broken and empty, almost dead. And then you have another sort of other bondage. You got this man's list of rules. This self-righteous thing that you try to perform. An old carnal just judgment that people try to live by. I want to go to Galatians 5:1. It says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know, what you had in the Galatians church, you had these Judaizers coming and saying you had to follow the law. But we're not under bondage to that anymore. We're not under bondage to that anymore. And what you have is, a lot of time, people try to make themselves good. They try to do deeds to make up for their bad ones. They try to be holy, just, and right. But you never can be. You'll never fulfill that. And a lot of people get caught up into that bondage. It's a pendulum. One that does whatever the flesh wants it to do. And that's bondage. And then you got the other side. The one is just trying to be so right and so good and so everything. That's bondage. But the Lord has called us to freedom. And we get so caught up into so many things that those so easily beset us. We can be in the bondage under fear. How we're going to pay our bills, how we're going to take care of certain things. We can be in bondage to our own insecurity of going forward in Him. We can get caught up into so many ways that's bondage. And the Lord has not called us to that by any means. Now, if we truly believe the gospel, and put our faith and trust in Him, we would be free. So you have this old carnal man strapped to your back that's trying to pull you down at every which way. But you don't have to listen to him more. That's the freedom that Jesus Christ has given us. And how many times do we go back to our old ways again? You know, we had a conference. We have a minister's conference coming up. Praise the Lord. We had a minister's conference last year. Amen. And there was freedom that was handed to us. The gospel that was given to us. And how many of us, when we came back, give it 1-2 months and caught up in the same snares, the same traps, the same struggles, the same bondage? Because we forget, we don't take hold of what the Lord has given us and walk in it. It was an interesting thing. It was Friday night. I was with my girls and I was showing them about an egg. Now, if you take an egg and you put it on the side and you put it between your hands and you press upon it from one side to the other side, not at the ends, it will bust and no problem. I mean, I can take my 2 fingers and break that egg. But if I take that egg and I turn it oblong, I guess that would be the word to say, where you press on one end and one to the other, I couldn't break it. Now, I told those girls of mine, I said, do you believe that this is the case? Watch. And I showed them that I could not break it. And I was pushing down with all my might, and I could not break that egg. And I said, now, do you believe that what I'm telling you is true? You've seen it with your own eyes. They said, yes. I said, do you want to try it? No. I don't want egg going all over me. I said, but you said you believed it. And see, that's the difference between believing in and believing on. I mean, what does James say? James say even the devils, they fear and tremble. They believe, they fear and tremble. But do you believe like Abraham believed? Willing to actually step out in what the Lord has told you to step out in. See, that's where the rubber meets the road. And the girls ended up doing it. And they found out it was true. Now they really believed that fact. Now that's the same thing in our lives. Do we really believe the gospel and that the Lord has set us free? If so, then we'd be walking as He walked. We wouldn't be entangled again to the yoke of bondage. But we would be free to serve Him and watch Him move. And the thing is, it's all about a choice that you make. God's not a respecter of person. Any one of us can do that. That choice, the Lord's, His hand is out for you to make that choice. He's there. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how talented you are or how untalented you are. How skillful you are or unskillful for you are. Doesn't matter. None of those things matter. Because it's all about Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He is able to perform. See, He's already won this war. He's already victorious. Now it's up to us to walk in that victory. Let's step out and believe Him at His word. As Abraham did. As Isaac did. As Moses did. As Joseph. As Joshua. As Paul. As Stephen. And I can go on and on and on and on. And the Lord, did the Lord meet them? Absolutely. Absolutely. Even Stephen. He preached that sermon and they killed him. And you can look at that from the natural and go, oh boy, that didn't work out. But he did work out. Who did he see? He seen Jesus coming and getting him. He's going to go be with Jesus. He won. He won. See, the thing is, you can't care about this life. You can't care about what's going on here. What's going on with the situations and the circumstances around you. You can't care about that. All you look to is the Lord and what He has done and what He's able to do. And step in the footsteps that He tells you to step in. And He doesn't leave you wandering without. He's given us everything we need. He's given us disciples. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us the freedom from this old nasty carnal mind. He's given us everything we need. The only thing that keeps us from stepping out in Him is our own selves and us choosing to believe on Him. That's it. So let's become free in Christ Jesus. And let's move forward in Him. Not backward. We at this point, we all should know what the backward looks like. We all should know what that old carnal man's doing. We're very familiar to it. Let's put that off and take no more heed to it. Let's go forward in Him. Free. Amen.
Well, Philip hit on an interesting truth. And he hit on a lot of truth. But the one that got my attention was when he talks about partying to death. You know, he's a cardiac massage away from it. The Lord saved him in a remarkable way. Three times. They were all remarkable. But the presentation out here amongst us is, there's those who live like hell and glory in it. And there's those who are religious. And you see people changing sides all the time. But the trouble with that is, one, it's all about you and it's idolatry. And the other is, it's all about you and it's idolatry. It's just expressed differently. And you're about, you go from I don't care what anybody else thinks to I'm here to do, I'm here to please and live by everybody else's standards and please them. And the world celebrates them. What? Neither one of them are going to end up with you in heaven. Neither one of them are going to end up with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Unless he intervenes. The end of both of those is destruction. What did Jesus say? Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Well, we just looked, there's three potential outcomes. And two of them are all on the same side. The ones that look religious and look like they really got the church thing down, and the ones who are living like hell. They're in that wide path that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. You got the little stragglers that aren't quite in either one of those niches. Those are the ones that are the Lord's. They're the ones that are finding the narrow gate. And availing themselves of an opportunity to enter in there. Now we know where this passage goes to, don't we? It goes down to not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. You know, those people that are working the worthiness list, that are doing things for the purpose of making themselves worthy instead of for the purpose of glorifying the Lord and bringing forth His gospel. And said, Lord, Lord. They're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Love God, love one another. Not all about me. It's not about my need to make myself worthy or self-justify, because it's about him. It's about how good he is. It's about what he has done and the completeness and totality of that work. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils and done all kinds of things to show which team we're on. We're on that righteousness team. Yeah. Except for it's about my righteousness, not about me acquiring the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's about showing myself to be worthy. Which makes it a ministry of works. That I can do enough good works to make myself worthy of heaven. That's not what the Word says. The Word says Jesus Christ and Him alone makes you worthy. That's it. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And, you know, from the first time I read this, it always amazed me that Jesus does not challenge that claim. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So he did all those wonderful works. You're still about making yourself worthy. You hadn't bought in. As Philip's saying, there's bondage in both cases. When you're bound to the world and all the indulgences that, of whatever it is, drugs or money or power or whatever it is. And then there's the bondage to having to self-justify. You find yourself find myself doing things with the wrong motivation all the time. You have to stop, repent, and then go forward and do it with the right motivation. You don't necessarily have to quit. Doesn't mean it was wrong to do that thing, but it was the wrong way to do that thing. And that's why you have people around you, people over you, to keep you focused. People have a broader view, a big picture view of what's going on. And they bring bring yourself to the light. Because you want your deeds to be exposed and reproved, whether they be of God. You don't want to be surprised at the end when nobody has let you know you were doing the wrong thing and you find out that you spent all that time pursuing an end that at least was not profitable to you and potentially was absolute destruction for yourself. I don't want to be either one. I don't want to be destroyed and I don't want to be unprofitable. I want it all. I want everything the Lord will give me. So I can turn back around and give it back to Him. It might not look the same when I'm done with it. But I want Him to give me, I want Him to pour His love down on me. I want to be able to have it in my reservoir to love others with. I want to be successful with that. That's bringing, that's bearing fruit. I don't want to justify myself before the Lord. I want to be covered in His righteousness and please Him. But we keep falling back into not even examining what our motivation is. It's doing things for the wrong reason. And frequently that the end of that serves to make us embittered about doing whatever it is we're doing, or the person it's about, or for. So you have to keep your motivations checked and do things for the right reason, or don't do them for the right reason. These people in Matthew 7, 21 through 24, 23 were doing it for the wrong reason. Whatever it was, He never challenged them about what they were doing or not doing. He said, I don't know you. That's all that mattered. Phil puts that on and it might look entirely different than when Paul puts that on. But the issue is, does He know me? Because that's how you describe a relationship. I know Phil. Know him well. Is that the kind of relationship? He knows me. Is that the kind of relationship you have with Jesus Christ? If it's not, you're doing it wrong. It can be. All you have to do is decide. Simple. I'm done.